And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you something I had found online, and it was such a hit, I thought I'd share it again. Who knew that the hardest part of being an adult is figuring out what to cook for dinner every single night of your life for the rest of your life until you die? When I shared this 2 weeks ago, in this very service, actual cheering erupted in the room. I must admit I was a little disappointed. The cheers were over something I did not personally write, but I will take what I can get. This week I found a few other truths about the challenges of adulthood that I thought you would also appreciate. Here's the first one. Adulting, which is a contemporary speak for being an adult, adulting is finally understanding why your mom was so upset with you when you didn't take the chicken out of the freezer. Then there's this one, which feels a little more serious. Being afraid to check your bank account is the adult version of being afraid to check your grades. That may be a little too close to home for some of us, so we'll quickly move along to the next one. I'm at a point in my life where I now wake up wondering every morning if I'm coming down with a cold or if this is just how I wake up now. I have literally had this thought dozens of times over the last couple of years. It seems my perpetual morning sore throat is just part of the natural aging process, or maybe undiagnosed allergies. Last but not least, I found this one. I tried to say I'm a functional adult, but my phone changed it to fictional adult, and I feel like that's more accurate. Frankly, this one hurts a little, because I don't know about you all, but there are certainly days when I feel like I am a total fraud when it comes to being an adult. There are times when I feel like a fictional adult. But our current series, this series of which we are in our fifth and final week, isn't exactly about adulthood. It's about growing up, becoming spiritually mature. And while you would think that growing up and becoming more mature is a given once adulthood begins, I think we all know it is not, in fact, a given. Adulthood, generally, is more about reaching a certain age and having to learn how to function independently from your family of origin. I would say growing up is a parallel process that should happen as we age. But while adulthood and aging are automatic as we live life on this earth, growing up, becoming mature, is an intentional process we must choose as we experience life's journey. Each week of this series has focused on different choices we must make if we seek to grow up in God's love, choices we must make if we want to become spiritually mature. The first week of this series, we considered that part of growing up is learning that life is not about you. It's about God's will and God's dreams. Week two, we explored the idea that part of growing up is learning to hear and to say no. During week three, we considered that part of becoming spiritually mature is learning to live and to give beyond yourself. Last week, our guest preacher, Reverend Kurt Landerholm, invited us to consider that a huge part of becoming a grown-up Christian is learning to trust in God's presence, to trust in God's guidance, and in God's provision. Each of the four previous weeks has put a piece of the growing up puzzle in place to help lead to this week, Consecration Weekend, the annual weekend during which we invite our McCabe members and friends to make a financial giving pledge for the coming budget year. I brought our family's giving pledge card today, and I'm guessing many of you did as well. With that in mind, it seemed fitting and appropriate for the theme of the last week of this series to be learning to make commitments. After all, we worship the God of Jesus Christ, whose love for and commitment to us is shown in a beautiful and ultimate way through the cross. In fact, today's scripture reading from Luke chapter 9 hinges upon the fact that Jesus had begun his steady march to the cross. So here again, verses from today's reading. As Jesus and his disciples were going along the road, Jesus said to a traveler, "Follow me." But the traveler said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." These words of Jesus seem a bit harsh. I like to hang on to an image of Jesus that is always kind, always compassionate, and frankly, sweet. But while Jesus was often kind and compassionate, he was rarely sweet. In our reading for today, Jesus is abundantly clear. Following him means total commitment, even to the point of missing a loved one's funeral and abandoning your family. Harsh, no? That being said, Jesus would often exaggerate in order to drive a point home. I mean, I don't think Jesus following Jesus has to mean missing important funerals and shunning our families. Goodness, no. I don't think he meant that literally. I think Jesus is being rhetorical here. But if we too quickly ignore Jesus' statements here as simply being extreme rhetoric used only to make a point and not to be taken literally, we may throw the whole bit aside and miss the overall thematic point he is making. And Jesus' overall thematic point here is that following him is a major commitment. After all, in the verses just ahead of these verses, in the paragraph just before this, we are twice told that by this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem. This tells us that at this point in Jesus' own story, Jesus knows exactly what's coming. He knows that before too long, he will be betrayed and denied by his close friends. He will be arrested and put on trial for blasphemy, and he will be sentenced to a painful execution at the hands of the Roman government. When Jesus tells a couple of would-be followers that commitment to him means abandoning their families, he is saying that as one who is about to experience relational and physical agony because of his commitment to God and God's mission for him. Think about it. Have you ever found yourself grumbling or downright angry at people who don't seem to take commitment very seriously? Perhaps especially commitments related to an organization or an institution you hold dear? I have a sneaking suspicion that kind of attitude may be reflected at least a bit in Jesus' harsh-seeming words from today's reading. He was heading to Jerusalem to face betrayal and death. What's a family obligation compared to that? I'm just guessing, but Jesus was human after all. Once his face was set toward Jerusalem, how could he not have been a bit forceful in anything he would say about commitment? No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you start moving forward with the plow and you suddenly look back, the plow might get off course or you might hurt someone. Best to keep your face set forward, no matter what, right? These words of Jesus make it sound as though commitments are all work and no play. And granted, that may have been how he was feeling with his own face set toward Jerusalem as he anticipated betrayal and death. But of course, when it comes to commitments, it's not all intense focus and drudgery. I mean, even as he faced death in Jerusalem, Jesus knew he would also soon face the glory of resurrection. So even though commitments mean work and sweat and even tears sometimes, there is also great joy in the midst of so many of the commitments we make in this life. Now, please know I firmly believe there are some commitments that change over time, and that some commitments need to be broken. For example, when relationships become abusive or trust is broken in a particularly violating way, breaking a commitment may be the best way forward for the health and safety of all parties involved. An entire sermon or series could be preached about that, but I'm going to leave it there for now. Commitment in general is a sign of maturity, a sign that we are willing to live not just for ourselves, but to serve others. Even when things get mucky, and when we're struggling to keep our hand on the plow as we move forward. About 10 years ago, my financial situation became overwhelming to me, with $30,000 in student loan debt plus tens of thousands of dollars in credit card and tax debt. I became so stressed about my increasingly bad financial situation that I realized something needed to change in a big way. And I knew it wouldn't be fun, because I knew it would mean making drastic changes to my spending. A lot less shopping, many fewer meals out, hardly any road trips. When I was at the height of getting my financial life in order about 10 years ago, it was no fun at all. I had to just put my hand to the plow and keep going without looking back. I had committed myself to financial health so that I could stress less, save more, and give more. That was the vision I focused on as I ate up my pantry, learned to enjoy the clothes I already had, and spent far more off time at home. It wasn't fun in the way I had defined fun previously, but it was important, and my commitment to financial health was a faithful one. But there was joy along the way as I saw my debt load decrease, I saw my savings increase, and as I was able to give more freely to both the church and to other causes near and dear to my heart. The same is true for people who serve in various ways throughout the church. Sometimes there's a bit of fear and trepidation when people make a new commitment to serve, yet so often when it's service God was calling them to fulfill, that fear and trepidation gives way to joy and freedom as they put their God-given gifts to work. Yeah, sure, sometimes even service in the areas for which you have God-given gifts feels like drudgery and like you're just putting hand to plow and moving forward. But for all the times that feel like that, there are so very many moments of joy that make it all worth it. In this life, if we are growing up in God's love and if we are maturing spiritually, when it comes to making commitments, our default position should be one of welcome and curiosity rather than fear and trepidation. Bringing forward a giving pledge for our 2020 budget year is a sign of exactly that. Welcome and curiosity about what God has in store for us here at McCabe in the coming year. It's a financial commitment to and an investment in the mission and ministries of McCabe. Mission and ministries that reflect God's love for us and for this world. Friends, we worship a God who is eternally committed to us, a God who showers us with love and with opportunities to serve in this beautiful world. As we prepare to bring forward our monetary gifts and our pledges for the coming year, may we do so in a spirit of love and with a sense of welcome and curiosity for all that God has in store for us in the coming year.